Welcome to the Life Podcast. We're so glad that you are joining us for another hope-filled message. And our prayer is that you are encouraged by this powerful Sunday sermon.
It is always such a privilege to be sharing, and I'm excited to continue on with our obedience series, week three, our third and final week of what we've been learning about, and really looking forward to sharing some thoughts with you. If you are joining us online, then great to be connecting with you as well. Now, I don't know about your household, but in my household, we've had quite a lot of experience with disobedience. And particularly over the last couple of years, but I'm not talking about my husband. He's come a long way. And neither am I talking about my youngest child. Now, a couple of years ago, we decided, after a lot of pleading, begging, and a very convincing PowerPoint presentation, that we were going to get a puppy. And so Molly Manners joined our family. We've got a picture to show you behind me here. Isn't she adorable? She's super cute, but do not be deceived. She is actually a wolf in sheep's clothing. She thinks she's a Rottweiler dressed up as a Cavoodle. She looks very cute on the outside, but in the inside, she's actually quite mean. In fact, when we go for walks at the park, and, you know, she's cute, so she attracts attention, and we have little old ladies come and say, "Oh, what a sweet little dog," and she does, and they almost have a heart attack. It's really embarrassing. And when people come over to our house, she doesn't give them the lovely warm welcome that we'd expect of the rest of our family. Oh no. She barks and goes crazy at them, especially if they are male, if they are an older person. I think it's because we have a lot of older neighbors in and around us. Or even if they're wearing a particular type of clothing she doesn't like. Our dog is ageist. She's sexist. She doesn't like people wearing certain clothing. She is a real piece of work. But for all of her faults, we absolutely love her. We adore her. She is part of our family. And we have learned and had to learn over the last few years that obedience is something that takes time. It takes a commitment and some hard work, reward and consequence. It takes learning and it takes patience. And it is exactly the same for every single one of us as we learn to listen and hear the voice of God, just like Molly has to learn to respond to us. Then it becomes easier and easier to do what he asks us to do and to respond. But we're not always going to get it right. And sometimes it is harder than what it might look. It's easier said than done, right? To do what God asks you to do. And I've just loved over the last couple of weeks what we've been learning about. You know, in week one, Pastor Luke talked about obedience being one of our love languages that we show towards God. And he said that when we're obedient, we get God's provision. We are in proximity with him. The peace of God comes. And then last week, Pastor Marie shared so beautifully and talked about some of the other benefits and blessings that we get when we're obedient. Greater entrustment, that peace again, and supernatural intervention. All of these great things that come to us when we are obedient. And I think for most of us here who would say that they are Jesus followers, our heart and our desire is to do the right thing. But there are some characteristics that we need to continue to work on and grow in order to help us in that area of obedience. And you know, there are many, many Bible characters who exemplified great acts of obedience. When you think about Abraham, Moses, David, Daniel, Ruth, Mary, the Apostle Paul, there are so many people, but they shared these common characteristics because you see, obedience is something that we do, but it comes as a byproduct and overflow of who we are. And so today I want to take a look at a story of a woman in the Bible, and it's Mary, the mother of Jesus. And we want to look at some of the things that we can learn from her as we take this posture of obedience. And so the title of my message this morning, feels like nighttime already, is Obedience Ingredients. So if you've got your Bibles, why don't you turn with me to Luke chapter 1. We're going to pick it up from verse 26. I'm going to read the whole story here. And as I do, I want you to think about it, not just in context of the Christmas story where you might normally read this passage, Think about it from Mary's perspective. What would have she been thinking? How might she have been feeling at this time? So from verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. So number one, obedience requires courage. Mary was greatly troubled at his words, the Bible says. But then he says, the angel says, "The Lord is with you, and do not be afraid." Now, when you think about this situation here, it's pretty crazy. We've got Mary here who's a teenager. And firstly, she is getting visited by an angel. And we're not talking about the cute little cherubim you see on a Valentine's Day card here. We're talking about these mighty, fearful, warrior-looking creatures. There is a reason why the Bible says when an angel comes to somebody, normally the first thing they say is, "Do not be afraid." It's because the angels are scary, okay? Secondly, not only is she visited by an angel, she's told that she's going to have a baby. Now, that's frightening enough, but in those days, to have a baby as an unwed woman was completely unacceptable. In fact, the penalty for that was to be stoned to death. So this, Mary would have known this, and this would all be going through her head. So she's been told she's going to have a baby, but not only that, that the baby she's going to bear is the long-awaited Messiah. He is the Son of God. I mean, I can't even begin to imagine what you would be thinking about in that moment. Like, how am I going to raise God? Like, what if he cries? Am I allowed to use the cry it out method with Jesus? And like, who disciplines who? Can I discipline him, or is a two-year-old going to be telling me what to do? I mean, the Bible says that he was without sin, right? So boy, she would have gotten a shock when she had the rest of her children. She'd be like, "What the heck is going on here?" Because Jesus was so perfect. But here we have this teenage girl who's been visited by an angel, told she's having a baby, the Son of God. Fear would no doubt have been knocking at her door, but she did not let it get a foothold, and she did not let it rob her from the destiny that God had called her to. I think fear and being afraid is often one of the reasons why we aren't obedient, why we don't want to step out in faith. You know, we're afraid sometimes of what people are going to think of us. We're afraid of rejection. We're afraid of giving up something that we really love. We're afraid that we're not going to get what we want. There are lots of reasons why we fear when God is calling us to be obedient. You know, one of the hardest decisions that Simon and I have ever had to make was about 15 years ago when we were deciding whether Simon was going to go through this surgical training program. Now, the pathway to do that was going to be 7 years of training, of studying, of moving. We ended up in six cities over a period of 7 years, three different countries. And I remember God really speaking quite clearly to us through multiple different ways, but we knew that it was the right thing to do. But if I was honest, if I am honest with you, I was really scared. I was pregnant with our first child. I had a great job here. All of our friends were here, our family. And I just didn't really want to go because I didn't know what it was going to look like. And I was scared. scared. Somebody even sent me the divorce statistics for orthopedic surgeons. It's like, thanks very much. That really helps. But we're still here 15 years later, so we're all good. But people are going to have different opinions when you have big decisions to make. But I remember feeling quite afraid. And I'll never forget the phone call that Simon made to me when he said, I found out where we're heading for the first year. He said, we're going to Palmerston North. And I was like, oh! And I cried. And I cried some more. Sorry if you're from Palmerston North. It was actually a great place, but I just did not want to go. I remember sitting in my room, like, on my own, and I was just having a moan to God. I was like, God, why? Why me? I don't want to go. What am I going to do? Like, I'm not going to have any friends. I don't have any family. And then I'm like, who's going to be my friend? And then I really felt God say to me, just prompted me, speaks to me just through, you know, thoughts. And he said, Erin, you're asking the wrong question. He said, the question isn't who's going to be my friend. The question is, whose friend are you going to be? And it was in that moment I was like, oh, okay. God has a purpose for me in this. This isn't actually about how I'm feeling right now. This is about what God wants. And I'm going to have a bit of courage. And I'm going to have to step into it, knowing that he's in control. And God, in his graciousness, he gives us his word. It's one of the primary ways that he speaks to us. And he gave me this verse, which I've continued to cling on to. It's from Joshua 1, verse 9. He says, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will go with you wherever you go. And the big thing for me was letting go of control, because we didn't have the whole 7 years mapped out. We only knew what the next step was. And so I had to go, okay, God, I'll take the next step. I'll trust you with the rest. I'm grateful he didn't tell me the whole journey, because I probably would have run away at the time. But I had to learn to give it over to him and just trust that if God's called us to something, he will give us the courage and the grace to carry it through. So obedience requires courage, and obedience requires humility. Mary said, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. You know, the level of humility that she expresses in this moment is actually mind-blowing. She was willing to surrender everything, everything she thought her future held. She didn't know that Joseph was going to stand by her. There was no guarantee of that. But she was willing to give it all up and to lay it all down for the purposes of God. I think, you know, when we get a revelation, and we need to continually get this revelation of the bigness of God, that God as the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who knit us together in our mother's womb, not only wants to have relationship with you and I, but he chooses to use us as his hands and feet to fulfill his plans and purposes here on earth. And when you think about that, it is such a privilege. It's not a burden. There will be hard things that we have to do, but it is so humbling to think that God wants to use each and every one of us. But we are at war against pride. Every single one of us has to contend against pride. The Bible says that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And so we need to continually be resisting that urge to be pride in who we are. You know, pride says, I'll do it my way. Pride says, I know what's best. Whereas humility says, God, do it your way. You know what's best, and I trust you. I never forget, as a new Christian, I remember thinking that now that I have God, all of my career dreams are going to come true, because I would, you know, pray about it and God would bless me. And so I did that, and I believed that God was going to bless me. I wanted to be in the film and television industry, and I was doing my study and things. But I never took time to actually stop and go, God, is this what you want for my life? I took in my plans and said, bless them. But actually what I needed to do was go, God, give me the plan and then I will be obedient to that. And it took me a little while. It took him asking a few times. But I eventually said yes to being in ministry, which I know is what he had called me to do. I even remember at a Life conference once, this is 20 years ago, I was sitting in one of the rows with this beautiful older couple. I think they were pastors. And during worship, the gentleman wrote a note to me and he handed it to me. And on the piece of paper, it said, "I believe in God that you are called to be a minister in God's house." And I took the note, and I remember afterwards, turned to him and I was like, "Oh, thank you for the note, very kind of you." I was like, "So I have a plan. Like, I'm going to film school and I'm studying and I'm really enjoying it, and I believe God's going to use me in the industry. And thank you for your note, though. That was great." And I just remember him, this beautiful man. He just sat there looking at me and he's like, okay. As if to say, "You just wait and see, honey. You just wait and see." And he was right. He was right. But at the time, I wasn't ready to hear it because of my pride, because I felt that I knew what the plan was. But I'm so grateful for the prophetic word of God. And some of us need to hold on to those prophetic words that we've been given and trust that God is going to do what he says he will do. You know, we are created to serve others. The greatest commandment that Jesus gave us was to love God and love people. And servanthood is all about humility. I love what it says in Philippians 2, verse 5. "And your relationships with one another have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking the nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." And he asks us to have that same mindset. Let's ask ourselves that question. Does my mindset that I carry reflect a posture of humility? Am I all about loving and serving and laying my life down for others? Or is it all about me? And you know, for most of us, God's not going to ask you to sell everything, move to a foreign country and become a missionary. If he does, then God will grace you for it and you can trust him in that. But for most of us, he's just asking us to be obedient in the everyday little things. Maybe for you, it's taking that workmate out for coffee and sharing your faith. Maybe he's asking you to forgive someone or to ask someone to forgive you. Maybe it's doing Bible college for a year. There are many different things. Maybe he's asking you to give up something. Maybe there's an unhealthy lifestyle you've been engaging in or something that you know you need to let go of. And God is saying now is the time. Start practicing with obedience in the everyday. So obedience requires humility. And number three, obedience eliminates excuses. This is a tough one. But Mary says to the angel, "How will this be since I am a virgin?" Now she asks a very good question here. She's an unmarried woman who has never been with a man. So what an angel is telling her is something absolutely impossible is going to take place here. Now questions are normal for us to ask when God asks us to step out in faith. We ask, "Well, how is this going to happen, Lord?" Sometimes we have excuses. Sometimes we have very good reasons, and that is normal for us. You know, tonight we are doing baptisms, which I'm super excited about. And baptisms is something that Jesus commanded us to do. It is a clear act of obedience. And we've got an 87-year-old woman who has a fear of water who is coming to get baptized tonight. It's incredible. Yeah. Now, she has reasons, good reasons, to say no or it's too hard or I can't do it. But she's felt God said, "This is what you need to do." And to her credit, she is stepping out in faith and she's going to be obedient to him. But one of the other things, the traps that we can fall in, is not just saying no to God, but is saying, "Yes, God, but not yet. This isn't quite the right timing for me. Come back, God, later. Put you on the shelf. Come back at a more convenient time. I'm too busy. Or perhaps we don't feel like we've got the money or the skills right now." You know, a few weeks ago, one of my children was getting ready for bed and there were a few jobs that we gave her to do. We said, "We need you to tidy your room. It's always a mess. We need you to put your clothes away. We need you to brush your teeth, get ready for school tomorrow." She said, "Yes, Daddy. Yes, Mummy." Okay, great. Get up to bedtime and go and say, what's happened? Like, have you done any of the things we've asked you to do? And she's like, oh, well, I was going to do it. I just didn't quite get around to it. And my husband, in his wisdom, he sat down with her and he said, honey, delayed obedience is disobedience. I'm like, ooh, ouch. Take that right there. Sometimes when we procrastinate or we don't say yes to God in the timing that he's asking us to, we risk missing out on what he has for us. There's this story in Matthew 8:28 of a man who wanted to follow Jesus, but he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus responded, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. Now, it seems harsh. We don't know the context of this story. We don't know if the father had just died or maybe he was 10 years away from dying. We don't know. But that's not actually what's important here. What's important is that Jesus was saying to this man that now is the time that you are to follow me. And he had a decision to make as to whether or not he was going to do that. Now, I'm not saying that when God asks us to do something, we don't take time to pray and to process and to get godly counsel. That's wisdom, and we need to do that. But when you hear the voice of God, the time is now. And sometimes there's a cost attached to that, but it will be worth it. I know I've gotten it wrong so many times. You know, God has prompted me to do something, and maybe just as simple as walking across the room and saying hi to somebody or talking to someone I haven't met before. Maybe it's giving that person a call. Maybe it's giving a gift or giving some money to somebody. There have been times when God's prompted me and I've said no, or I haven't gotten around to it, or I've said not yet, or I've been late. But I'm so thankful that God, in his graciousness, he forgives us and he gives us another chance. I mean, we know the story of Jonah. God sent him on a mission. And he was like, nah, I don't want to do that. And he actually ran in the opposite direction. It didn't go so well for him. But to his credit, he repented. He turned around and he went back and he completed the mission that God had given him to do. And every single one of us get that opportunity. But the truth is, there are always going to be times where God asks us to do something and we don't feel like we can do it. We don't feel like we've got enough. Mary asked the angel, how will this happen? And this is what he said. The Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. She accepted that the impossible could be made possible through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. We need to rely on him. We cannot do everything God is going to ask us to do in our own strength, by our own power, by our own striving. It has to be through his presence, through who he is. I love this other verse that God gave me, and I just continually come back to it in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. You know, Mary's story is very inspiring. She was an ordinary young girl with courage, with humility. She eliminated excuses. She trusted that the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit would enable her to complete the task that God had given her to do. And every single one of us have got those same tools at our fingertips. We have his word, we have his promises, we have his presence. All we need to do is take hold of it and step into everything that God has called us to do and everything that he's called us to be. And we can trust that when we do that, our lives are going to be so blessed. Not always easy, that's for sure. But we are going to be fulfilled and we are going to have an incredible life when we do what God asks us to do.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. I trust you're encouraged by this incredibly powerful word. You know, you've always got a place to call home here at Life, and I want to encourage you to join us in one of our campuses in Auckland or Tauranga, or why don't you join us at church online. To find out more about Life and to stay connected with us, why don't you visit lifenz.org.